This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go!
The Clippers there. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant.
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss. The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of Two Birds and a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, coming to you, of course, from the patio studios, and as always, brought to you by my good friends, Randy and Stephanie Green, over at InnovatedCompanies.com. Again, the Innovated team, the construction crew, heating and cooling, electric, and now the plumbing division, all underneath that one umbrella of Innovated Companies. That's InnovatedCompanies.com, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, and as I always say, more importantly, a man of his word. We don't have that anymore, folks. It's getting old and getting tiresome to not be able to trust people out there. Randy's a man you can trust. Give him an opportunity for your business today. Today, I'm going to talk about something that's bugging me a little bit, and that's the perception of the Cardinal way. I want to talk about this a little bit. The Cardinal way does not irritate me as much as best fans in baseball, because the Cardinal way to me is something that's real. That being said, I have a little bit of a different view on what the Cardinal way is and how you go about doing it, I think, then it's portrayed in social media sometimes. So I want to talk about that today. And if we're going to talk about players and how they play the game and what they do, you've got to talk to a guy that actually played the game, because, again, I loved a fan. I love all fans, and we're all entitled to our opinion. But sometimes I don't know that we understand how hard the game is. So you got to call in the man, the myth, the legend on the m4byyachty.com hotline, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? I'm doing good.
Well, it's Guy right now. Steve-O is going to join us. As long as everything works out, he'll be a few minutes late, and I want to get his thoughts as well, because Steve-O, much like myself, has been a Cardinal fan basically his whole life. Even though I'm a little bit older than Steve, we both grew up loving the Cardinals, you know, being introduced to them in the 70s, but then really coming of age with them as our team in the 80s. You know, so we lived through that era of Cardinal baseball, and what we saw there, in our opinion, was something special. Then we lived through lean years, and then we got into the transition when Tony La Russa came into town, and what seemed to be a change of direction for a baseball team, also with a change of ownership, to where we are at today after quite a bit of success. And now we look at how do we define success. Everybody defines it differently. Therefore, getting thrown into the mix a lot is this term, the Cardinal way. yesterday's game and some of the other games that we have lost lately is the reason for this conversation. And you can look at the things that go on in these games, and it's very easy to say, and rightfully so, we have lost our Cardinal way because of the way that we're losing these games. You know, I'm going to start first with this. Number one. So, Benji, you know, you played in the league for 13 years. You're a lifelong baseball guy. You had an opportunity to spend a full year in the, as an everyday coach in the clubhouse. Let's not beat around the bush here. Your brother is one of the greatest defensive catchers, greatest catchers in general in the history of the game of baseball. He's an iconic figure in St. Louis. He knows nothing but what it's like to be a St. Louis Cardinal. So to act like you don't know what's going on would be silly. The truth of the matter is, even if you consider yourself a borderline outsider because you played for other teams, what does the Cardinal way mean to you?
Oh, wow.
There's a loaded question.
The main question for everybody is, are we doing the Cardinal way right now? So that's what matters, right? I don't think we are. I don't think we are doing the Cardinal way right now, which I think it means having ballers on your team, having guys that has the very, very high IQ. That's just the beginning of the Cardinal way. Guys who were very ahead of the game all the time. Guys that nobody had to tell them how to play, when to take a strike, when to do something, when to work the count, when, you know, nothing like that. So that's Cardinal way for me. Among other things that I'm gonna try to throw in, but getting guys over from third, having guys that could do it without problems, having guys to steal bases on a consistent basis. You guys got spoiled over there in St. Louis. Don't get it wrong. When those teams were stacked and those teams were good in those years that were mentioned, don't get it twisted. You guys were stacked with people that were ballers. Nobody, they could even manage themselves if they could. I had a talk with Robbie Alomar, as you know, a Hall of Famer. He told me that for a few years in Toronto, they were managing themselves. Now, did you hear that? Tito Gaston, oh, yeah, he's one of the greatest managers. Well, Robbie Alomar was just telling me he didn't do much in that year, those years, because what? Because he knew that they were ballers. There were guys that were ahead of the game. There were guys with high IQ and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, it makes a lot of sense.
For a Cardinal way to be, for you to compare the Cardinal ways of before, like you when you said you started, to the team right now, it's not really fair to those guys that played before. It's not really fair.
You know,
and I'm not dogging anybody in the team, this Jimbo. I'm not dogging anybody here in the team. Because there's a few that might have it. You know, there's a few on the team that might have it. But overall, as a team, I don't see a Cardinal way. I don't see it. You know, I'm not dogging anybody in a specific, because some of them do. Obviously, you got to respect that. But overall, as a team, I don't know, man. I don't see it. And then you have, I told you about the bullpen. We beat it up so much in shows. What has happened in the last three games? What has happened the last three games? Where does that come from? We end up winning one, but a bullpen cost us the tie, right? And then we end up winning. So all three games, buddy, the bullpen has been struggled for us and gave us the loss. Two out of three in this one. But I told you, the bullpen is a key. But going back to the Cardinal way, man, it's very difficult to compare this team to be a Cardinal way, and I don't think they are at all. But the Cardinal way for me is that, like, sacrificing your at bats for the team, getting the guy over, getting the guy in, winning games as a team, not waiting for a home run, not waiting for a double, two RBIs. How do you say that? Generating runs?
Fundamentals. Just fundamentals. Just basic fundamentals.
Yeah, making runs. Yeah.
Manufacturing runs.
Manufacturing runs. That, for me, was the Cardinal way. How do we manufacture runs? You knew that if you're going to play the Cardinals at that time that you were a fan, you knew that you needed to score 4 runs. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Vince Coleman was going to steal 2 bases, and he might end up scoring. Because Willie McGee was going to get the guy over from third and maybe get a stretch out, a single into a double. And then he might end up scoring. Because all those guys were ballers, and they knew, and they thought ahead. They thought ahead of the game, and they were going to get 3 runs every game that you were going to have to deal with. And that was very simple. That's the Cardinal way. But do we have that now? That's the biggest question, Jimbo.
Yeah, and the thing is, and I think where I'm going with the conversation today, I'm going to welcome in everybody's buddy Steve Flowers over here, the Weed. Steve, as I had mentioned earlier, Steve-O and I, and this is no disrespect to you, Benji. I mean, you were, you know, building your own baseball career. Growing up first, when we started liking the Cardinals, you were playing baseball in general. But, you know, as I mentioned, Steve-O, we grew up, you know, we were introduced to the game in the 70s. Like all young kids whose parents love baseball, we come of age in the 80s watching Cardinal baseball, and then we go through the downtime, obviously, and then we come back with the Tony La Russa era, and now here we are. So, and in between, we all learn, especially the way the world is today, we all learn about this Cardinal way, and then we all become infatuated and married to it. Absolutely should. But my real statement today is going to be, what is it? And what do we think it is, and what is it truly? Because I'm going to bring up some points today that I think some people are going to have to come to grips with that we don't want to come to grips with. So I'm anxious to get your guys' thoughts on that. Steve-O, you can kind of think about where we're at with all that right now while I do our little intro here. Don't forget to find us, twobirdsonabat.com, the multiple things you can do on the website there. Very simple. Subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. If you would do your shopping at Amazon through the website there for us, that would be tremendous. We'd appreciate it greatly. It's just a small referral fee that helps us keep our producers, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, living in the life of luxury that they've become accustomed. They do such a great job for us behind the scenes. Find us on social media, at Birds on a Bat Shows, where you'll find us on Twitter. If you follow us and you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. We love to stay in tune with people through social media. Same thing on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. You know, we're happy to have everybody be a part of the conversations, and the more people we have following us on Facebook, the more people we can get involved. Thank you for your continued support. Find the Birds. It's just Birds on a Bat, the Facebook group. Again, if you want to become a member of that, just click the button there, and if you're a Cardinal fan, we'll accept you in the group. Instagram's big now as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Find us there. Of course, we're part of the lineupmedia.fm network, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet, but also now home to the newest internet radio sensation, Yo Radio. It's growing leaps and bounds every day. New stations coming on board. I know everybody's heard of iHeartRadio and things like that. Check out Yo Radio today. It's absolutely free. Go to the App Store. Download it. Again, it's free. Leave them a review. I see the guys around here working really hard on it, trying to put together great stations. They're talking to celebrities and iconic figures within the communities and things, putting together more stations every day. So check out Yo Radio again. Make sure you download it and leave them a review. Our sponsors, guys, thanks so much. You heard me mention the folks at InnovativeCompanies.com, Randy and Stephanie Green. But again, we couldn't do the show without my man Mark Marcuso down at Arlington Greens. Stepped in, wanted to support the show, wanted to get the word out about what a tremendous golf course it is. Again, the hidden gem here in the Metro East, located Granite City, right on the outskirts of Collinsville as well. You can find it, again, no matter where you're coming from, Missouri side, Illinois side. Make sure you check out Arlington Greens. As we mentioned before, nobody runs a tournament like Mark Marcuso. If you have a cause that needs taken care of and you need a place to have your tournament, go see him. The only issue you might have is he does such a good job, it's hard to get a date there. But again, he accommodates and does the best he can, but he does have a tremendous course and a tremendous staff. That's Arlington Greens, folks. Make sure you check it out. Ask for Mark Marcuso and tell him your friends at Two Birds on a Bat sent you. Don't forget Adam's Smokehouse if you're hungry. The ribs, oh, my God, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Steve's licking his chops over here. I know he had some barbecue there last week. He introduced his wife to it, and You look like you're ready for some right now, buddy.
It's about lunchtime.
I was gonna say you were at a golf course actually and came in here. They're probably barbecuing right now. Not like Adam's Smokehouse, but they're probably barbecuing.
They're burgers or brats or whatever it is. I passed on all that. So, why do we have to bring them up every show?
But you know why? Because they do a great job with their social media at Adam's Smokehouse. You ever see the
I know, but it makes me hungry.
Well, okay. Well, get over there. Go see Mike. Say, Mike, I'm hungry. Frank, I'm hungry. Give me a plate. They'll take care of you.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, hey, that's our friends at Adam's Smokehouse. Make sure you check them out. Tell them your friends at Two Birds on a Bat sent you, and you'll be ready to roll. Okay. So let me tell you guys where I'm going with this Cardinal Way thing. Number one. I mean this wholeheartedly. I think we have a problem with how easy we perceive it to be to play the Cardinal Way. What I see, and you guys have to tell me if I'm wrong, and I know both of you guys think I'm crazy because I care so much about social media. I know, Steve, it drives you crazy that I get worked up on Twitter.
Yes.
Benji, I'm sure, you know, probably laughs because, you know, he's a professional baseball player that has probably had to endure good and bad with social media. And you guys probably laugh at me, but it bothers me, and it bothers me for this reason. There's a lot of irresponsible people tweeting, media members, very irresponsible. And let me tell you why it's irresponsible. People view them as people that are supposed to know what they're talking about. And they're very irresponsible.
If you do that, Jimbo, it's okay. If you care about what the people that know what they're talking about, yeah, I give it to you. It's okay. You should be mad. But when you get mad about somebody that probably has no idea what's going on, that's when I don't like that.
It's hard for me. Okay. Because here's the problem, though. This is what I believe. This is why fans think that you just, hey, show them how to play the Cardinal Way and they go do it. It's not that simple. I don't understand where in the world we come up with this, like, nut jobness that because a guy plays in our farm system, that he's going to be a great player at the major league level, and he's going to do it exactly like he was taught to do it. Guess what, folks? Not everybody can do it. We are seeing it right before our eyes. Listen, if everybody thinks that the Cardinals for years showed all these guys in the minors how to play the Cardinal Way, they came up here and played the Cardinal Way and we won, you guys are all so mistaken. Go look at the rosters. Benji, you say it all the time. What's the number one thing? You said it. What's the number one thing you need to have to be the Cardinal Way? Ballers. You need to have guys that can really play the game. Listen, what we have right now, and I know this is not, I honestly say this. I know this isn't the easiest thing for Benji, okay? Some of these guys are your really close friends. Some of these guys are guys you see in a locker room every day. I get it. And for the most part, the guys that I know that you're really tight with are all really good at a couple things. The problem is, unlike Cardinal teams of the past, they just aren't good at all the things. Go back and look at these Tony La Russa teams and tell me why in the hell are we comparing these last few years' teams to Tony La Russa teams? It's not even close. We don't have a player on this team remotely close, not even in the same stratosphere as Albert Pujols, number one. Number two, maybe we got a couple guys Matt Holliday style, but they're not the type of guy Matt Holliday was. And if you don't think that's a problem, then you're crazy. Number three, we don't have a guy that can even be in the same room with Jim Edmonds.
You know what? I heard an interesting stat. I think it was since 1920, the Cardinals have had a Hall of Famer on their roster every season. A future Hall of Famer, okay? So who's it going to be after Yachty?
That's my point.
So you don't have the next guy up.
And for that matter, forget Hall of Famer. I understand that that's an elite group. But the truth of the matter is, we've had a lot of guys that while they weren't Hall of Famers, they were close. You can say what you want. Jim Edmonds, in my opinion, should be in the Hall of Fame. So should Scott Rolen. Okay, Chris Carpenter, if not for health, is a Hall of Fame type of pitcher. We don't have it. Guys, I'm sorry. Get over it. The talent level's not there. This is what you're going to get. Now, listen, do we have some guys that can do some good things? Absolutely. And I know a guy that we go a little bit back and forth with, and I love him. Jose Martinez can hit. But here's my thing for the fans. How can you act like it's okay that Jose Martinez is killing us at first, but then you act like Colton Wong's not killing us at the plate because he plays good defense. They both go hand in hand. We never had Cardinal teams that were that drastic on both sides. Listen, do I want Colton Wong to play because he's a great defender? Hang on. Do I want Colton Wong to play because he's a great defender? Absolutely. But you can't hit 170 and have an on-base percentage that low and play. I don't care how good you are defensively. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, on your point, can you win games with Wong just hit it, just getting the defense done? Or can you win games with Jose Martinez getting three hits and four RBIs or three RBIs a game? You tell me.
No,
How many times has Wong come up with a base loaded? How many times has Wong come up with the two men on, one man on, whatever? And he has some good clutch hits. And don't get me wrong. I love Wong. Colton, I always talk to him, and I always tell him, man, you got to get going, man. We need you. I'm always talking to him, always. And I like him. But has he done it? Has he done it? No. He's not going to win you with a great play unless it's a replacement at the eighth inning or ninth inning or something like that. I get it. But other than that, we have to score runs to win. That's the most important thing in a baseball game. We got to score runs to beat anybody, anybody, anybody. You got to score more runs than the other team. And how do you do that? Turning a double play? You don't score a run with that. I know it's defense, and I know it's very, very valuable because I'm a defender, actually defender guy. You know, I love defense. But how do we win? How do we win? Scoring freaking runs, man. I told you guys before, it's one of the reasons why Matt Carpenter is still in the lineup. He plays okay defense, but guess what? He's a great hitter. I mean, not a great hitter this past whatever time. He's struggling, but he's shown that he has it. He can hit. So that's one of the reasons. People cannot be mad at Jose Martinez right now. He's carrying us. He was until he got to go over there. And Ozuna and all these guys. But the defense part, I get it. Yeah, we're going to win games in the defense in the eighth and ninth or seventh, whatever. That's okay. But if we get make all the plays a great plays in the world and we don't score one run, you think we're going to win many games? I don't think so, man. I really don't.
And that's
so
where
we need to really, really think that one through.
And that's where I'm going with this. Steve-O, I'm going to get two points of view here from both of you guys. One, from a fan and a guy that played the game at a lower level. Okay, and still loves the game and still plays today. And then I'll go back to Benji. And the truth of the matter is this. What is it about fans that think that a coach can help a 27-year-old man get better at something he's already worked on his whole life every day? Now, can they help him? Yes. Can Jose Oquendo magically make guys great defenders or even a little bit better? People, this is my thing. People act like these guys have never worked on their game before. They've never, you know, Matt Carpenter has never worked on his fielding before. And all of a sudden, we're going to work on it and he's going to be good at it. No, they've been doing it forever. And whether you want to believe it or not, they do work on it. They do. It goes on all the time. Does it go on every minute of every day? Probably not. These guys play a lot of games. I know we think it's a game of baseball, but their bodies wear down. They have to. But they work on it. They do work on it. Steve, am I wrong? I mean, you can coach guys, but we're talking about guys that have been the best players on their team their whole life. They get drafted. They get developed through the minors. They come up to the majors. They play. They keep getting developed by people. And then all of a sudden, we expect that some miracle worker is going to make them this Cardinal way player at the age of 26, 27, 28, 25. No.
Here's my point. If you're the top of your industry, I don't care what it is. And make no mistake about it, these guys were the best in the biz from the time they put on a uniform. Okay? They were the best. And you make it to the big leagues and you struggle, you're probably going to stick with the same things you've been doing your entire life. It's hard to coach a major leaguer. Okay? Now you can give them some tips and maybe, hey, try this. A lot of it's psychological you might have to get into because they're not going to change what they've been doing for 20 plus years.
And even if they do try, that's my point. So again, we're back to, and this is where I'll go to Benji. Now we're back to this. I applaud guys. You hear great stories all the time and you see it. Guys that were decent hitters and then they, you know, they made some changes and now they talk about what they changed about their approach and it helped make them better. Here's my thing on that, and this is what kills me. I want anybody to go back and look at some of these. There's some great ones out there. You can find them. Josh Donaldson, Daniel Murphy, all these guys, okay? Lots of them. Go back, research them, and see what they did. I assure you as I sit here today, not a one of them reconstructed their swing or changed their approach during a Major League Baseball season. It's done in the off season. And I assure you, it's done with somebody that can give them 10 hours a day. 5 hours a day, I'm being ridiculous. Probably 5 hours a day because I've watched it happen, okay? Steve brought it up. Every one of these guys can play. The main difference that separates them, no different than every other sport a lot of times, is the mental aspect of the game. We are talking about a game, and this is where I get fed up. Before I get into that, let's go back to Benji on the player thing. Benji, you've played. You worked on your game every day. I know what kind of player you were. I knew what kind of player you were before you and I became friends because, you know, obviously knew who you were, followed you. We actually became friends through a different show that had to do with the development of kids in baseball. So I understand it. Nobody's going to tell me. I know. That I know. You can question my opinions on the Cardinals. That's fine. But what I do know is how that works. Okay, because I'm knee-deep in it, and I've been knee-deep in it for, well, I don't know, Steve, what, 12 years?
Yeah.
Okay, so I understand it. I'm not even saying I'm not here to say I'm the best at it or great at it, but I've been knee-deep in it, and quite frankly, with some of the best in the world that do it for a living. Okay, so I understand how it works. It's done at the younger levels every day, all the way up. And again, don't forget this, people. The guys that I know are working with these people when they're 14 are the same guys that were doing it with the guys that are in the big leagues now when they were 14, and they spend every offseason with them, and they probably spend about 4 to 5 weekends with them through the season. Okay? That's what you don't want to accept, but it is a fact. Okay? Now, but guys are working on their game on their own. That is the one thing you get taught as a young player. Nobody's going to be there to babysit you every day. You know how to get better. You know what you need to do to be successful. You have to work. Okay? So everybody is trying to get better. But if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So if you're not a good defender, you can work your butt off to get a little bit better, but I promise you, If you're Matt Carpenter, some of the plays that you see are going to continue. I don't care if Ozzie Smith works with him, Jose Oquendo works with him, Benji Molina works with him. It doesn't matter. The difference between this Cardinal team and the Cardinal teams when Tony was here was they went out and got players that could do it.
Talent.
Ballers. Benji, please tell me where I'm wrong here.
No, I'm not gonna tell you. You're wrong. You're crazy. No, man, it's true. The coaches can work all you want, and we've seen it on the offense. Mabry, for me, is one of the most talented hitting coaches. Most smart, if anything, the smartest. Because the ones I had, they don't compare to him as a player, and the ones I have as a coach. Other than him, in 2013, doesn't even compare to him. He's one of the most smart guys, but can he go to the plate and hit? It's one people needs to understand. Can he go and do it? No, he can't do it, I tell you that. So, it comes down to the player, just like you said. It comes down to the player. If these players are not good in the defense. They work, and they might become better. But if they haven't done it in 27, 28, 29, don't expect any changes. If you do it in the minor leagues and these kids are working every day hard, yeah, from the minor leagues to the big leagues, they might make a big difference. But from from 25 on to 30 and on to 30s? No, you don't expect the difference. You expect them to be who they are. And that's what we're seeing, who they are. It's really hard to watch the games. And you have a lineup that is struggling at the bottom part. It's really hard. It's going to come the time that Ozuna, Yadi, and Martinez, they might not see good pitches to hit, man, because the pitchers will understand that, hey, we got bottom lineup that is struggling this year, so let's go after them. And then what are we going to do as a team? That's what I'm saying. You cannot compare. Anybody out there cannot compare the teams, like you said, Jimbo. They cannot compare the teams that we had before to this team. The teams that we had before, the ninth hitter was stacked. The ninth hitter was a great player, and he helped us. Eighth and ninth batter in the lineup. Well, not nine. In this case, seven and eight were great hitters, and we can count on them, you know? So there's one of the reasons why we cannot compare. Being ballers and being IQ, that for me, and Steve-O still plays. And don't you get mad, Steve-O, when you see a guy that has no IQ and he doesn't even know what the heck he's doing and all of a sudden he needed to be somewhere and he's not? It's because he wasn't thinking. So we all hate those type of guys that don't have IQ, and we don't have much of them. So for us to be here and comparing teams, not fair. Not fair to the older guys.
And listen, this is a baseball thing. This isn't a Cardinal thing. This is listen, I saw a great article the other day saying that we have a problem in Major League Baseball. Now, obviously, all we care about is the Cardinals, but this is going on everywhere. Are people not paying attention to the poor fundamentals that are played in the game of baseball this day? I saw an unbelievable article the other day that said flat out, until we change the way we pay baseball players, it's not going to change. Nobody gets paid to move a runner over. Nobody gets paid to play really good defense and hit 200, 220. Nobody. Nobody gets paid for that. Nobody gets paid for being a great teammate anymore. The days of leaders are over. This was a great article that I thought was so well done. And, you know, and in the article he even said, I can go in the back room right now with my analytics department and I can put together any number you want to come to say that every guy got a 300 hitter.
Absolutely.
Or should be. I can do anything you want to do with my analytics department. And that's how we've got here. And the other night was a great example. The ball, listen, do I think Ozuna should have caught the ball? I do. I think he should have caught it. Now, he dove awkwardly. We later find out that he broke his wrist diving for a ball, and that's an uncomfortable play for him. You know what? Everybody acts like, oh, well, he should have done this, he should have done that. Guess what? You're in the moment.
Didn't do it, man. Why can we just...
That's right. He's an athlete. But here's the thing.
He just didn't do it. And other players make worse plays.
That's right.
Worse plays than that. And he should have cut it, maybe. Who knows? Maybe another outfielder would have been playing out of position and nobody says a word because that ball drops.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
A dumb outfielder playing out of position, like Schwarber, for example, he plays out of position. All of a sudden, he doesn't even get to it. He doesn't even get a one hopper to him. Ozuna made it interesting. He almost caught it. I mean, like, come on, man. He just didn't make the play, and that's it. Let's just leave it like that.
But here's my thing. I need a stat on that. That's my thing. You know, hey, like the stats
thing. I need a stat on heart.
That's right.
I need a stat on baseball IQ. And I need a stat on guys moving guys over or not. I want to know, seriously, guys, seriously. I really want to know the numbers on when you get the guy over and when you get the guy in, how many wins do we get when we do that? And how many losses we get when we strike out with men on third and less than two outs? I want a stat. That's the stat they need to put out there so they can see how we're losing and how we win it. I want a stat about how many relievers are going to mess up a game. You know, you give them some. It's okay because they're human. They're going to mess up a few times. But when you have a bullpen that is doing it on a consistent basis, don't expect to win, man. Don't expect to win. When we have an inconsistent bullpen, don't expect the wins. I always said it. You see the Brewers. You see what the Cubs doing with their bullpen. Why do you think they're on the top? Because their bullpen has been holding up. But when you have a bullpen that is up and down, you're gonna lose some games like this. The last three days has been, I've been so mad at the last three games. Come on, man, they could have won all three games. They could have won, and all of a sudden you go back and what we say, what happened in that game, man? What happened? And then you go back and you realize the bullpen. You know what I'm saying? So that's the most important thing. To address the things that are killing us.
You know, and again, Steve, I'll go to you on this. Okay, I can assure you, obviously I'm coming across now as anti-analytics, okay? I love the Buck Showalter piece, though. It was great. It was well done. It was, hey, there's a place for it. Okay, but there's still more to it than that. And that's what he was trying to say. And again, as John Mozeliak kind of alluded to when Steve-O and I were at that thing, we took away a lot of the stuff that he said because we were surprised he brought up the players' names. But one of the things that he brought up that kind of went under the radar was because people had asked him, because that's the day and age we're in now, right? Like, everybody's an analyst and everybody reads so they know their shit, right? They flat out asked him something and he looked at him and said, that's not what we have. And he looked right at him and said, I know where you got your information. Let's just say that we use different information. Right. He was saying, I know because I looked it up. This guy got it from FanGraphs, right? Okay? Because it was exactly the same numerical thing that he asked him. John Mozeliak looked at him and said, that's not what we have on him. And we use a lot. We use different numbers and different things that we put together. Does that mean they're not using analytics? No, they aren't. But they have their own, number one. So let's quit acting like what they have is exactly what we see online. That's number one. Number two, this was really good. So the other night, I'm looking at this, and everybody's analyticing up on me, right, on social media. I go to the standings, okay? And I hear these people say, well, these teams have heavily invested in analytics. The Houston Astros. What do the Houston Astros have that every team doesn't have? Just about?
Analytics.
What do they have besides
studs?
Analytics? Studs.
And what did they do? They did exactly what Cardinal Nation would start a revolt over.
Yes.
They tanked it for 4 years minimum, right?
Yes. Would
they have 100 losses for like
awful.
3 or 4 years?
Awful.
They were awful. Hey, if you want a Carlos Correa, let me tell you how you get Carlos Correa in your system. Go lose 110 ball games. Hey, Cardinal Nation, for 3 years in a row. If you want a Bregman, if you want Altuve, if you want Springer, go lose 100-plus games year after year after year.
And spend no money and bank it up so
yep.
that when guys like Garrett Cole become available and Justin Verlander that make money, yep. you can say, I've got all these prospects now that are never going to play because I've got – Carlos Correa, Bregman, Altuve, Springer, on and on and on. I've got all these guys.
If that's what you want.
So I'm going to go ahead and trade these guys, and now I'm going to bring in, because I've not spent any money, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Garrett Cole. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Verlander. I'm going to do all this stuff. Why? Because of what I did. Now, again, I'm not even saying don't do that. I don't care. The Cardinals own their own business. They know. But they also know probably what's expected of them. Could that happen here? I think Cardinal fans would lose their mind. Now, listen, there's a loud minority that are like, let's just do it. It'd be better than what we're dealing with now. These are also the same people that argue with me that if you weren't going to be very good, why not live through the iconic stuff of Pujols? You weren't very good.
Right.
You might as well live through history.
They want to fit their narrative to whatever they want it to fit. So the bottom line is, if you don't want to lose, I mean, the Cardinals are trying to be competitive every year and make the playoffs every year and have a chance. Do they have the best team in baseball on paper?
Who?
No, the Cardinals.
I'd say they're average.
Absolutely.
And, yes.
Can they win a World Series with an average team?
They've done it.
So guess what?
Well, but I take that back. They've done it on a team that was average that actually had some players that went through some. Listen, the problem with us is, okay, number one, let me finish this other thing before we go to that one. I can be the analyst for the Houston Astros. How hard is it to be the analyst for the Houston Astros? Well, I don't know, Coach.
Seriously.
I don't know, Coach. Let's take a look at the numbers here. You know, if I was you, I'd go ahead and roll out Springer, Altuve, Chris Correa, da 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 da. I'd just keep rolling it out until I got to the bottom going, well, Let's look at the bottom couple guys. This guy might do a little bit, but I mean, are you kidding me?
No, okay, listen. Guys, every time I mention analytics, it's obviously a great team. But watch, you're right. But anytime I talk to anybody, anybody that brings up analytics to me, anytime I bring it up, I bring up the heart measure, you know, the analytics for heart, analytics for balls, analytics for baseball IQ, analytics for hustle, analytics for ballers, they turn around and go away. That's what they do to me every single time. Whenever they bring to me the analytics, and like you said, guys, yes, there's a way to it. You know, we can help out. We can get help from it. Yeah, I'm not saying to fully don't do it, but don't bring me that crap and say that, oh, yeah, Houston is winning because they're using analytics. Bullshit. They're winning because they have players, man. They have guys who can play, you know. That's what they do. That's what the Cubs win, because they come out and take it to you when they come to your place or anybody. We can mention anybody. But anytime I mention to the analytics guy, where's the numbers for the heart? Where's the number for the mind? Where's the numbers for the being smart out there?
You know,
IQ and all that. They turn around and leave.
To your point in the article, something that I thought was interesting is he alludes to the fact that nobody even wants to be a leader anymore. Guys don't even want to do it. They just want to play. They just want to go out, worry about themselves, do this stuff. That's what the game's turned into. Listen, my guess is, and again, I'm not going to put you on the spot, Benji, and this is purely speculation. I've said 1,000 times over, so let me say it again. I don't care if they fire Mike Matheny tomorrow. I could care less. To say I know the man means I barely know him, okay? I actually know him better for the other stuff I do, okay? Because he was very helpful with the other baseball stuff. When it comes to Cardinal baseball, don't know him, don't care. I really don't care. Is he good? I don't know. My guess is I'd say he's probably good at things we don't see. Some of the things we do see, I think he has a problem with. I would argue his assessment of a lineup sometimes is screwed up. So, yeah, sure. If you want to fire him, fire him. But here's my point on Mike Matheny. And this is where I get frustrated with fans, okay? There is no way, and I've said it once and I'll say it again, there is no way that the guy that we watched play in this league, a guy that we later learned went and knocked somebody off a bike while he was riding it. Remember that? Steve Klein, the article?
Yeah.
Found it. Yeah, come and knock me off my bike after the game and said, hey, that's bullshit. Okay? The guy that played, got hit in the face and played. Okay? Didn't want to come out of a game. That guy, the guy that was one of the best defensive catchers in the game and made his living being tough, made his living doing things the right way, playing hard, being respectful, doing all this. If you're going to tell me that guy don't give a shit and is just rolling over in the locker room and doesn't care and isn't doing this, I'm never going to buy that. You're not going to convince me that in that locker room right now is a frustrated Mike Matheny, probably even a frustrated John Mabry, maybe even a frustrated Mike Maddox for all I know, probably sitting around going, what happened to the players today? They don't even let us help them. That's what I think's going on. And again, it's an opinion. You can dismiss it because it doesn't fit your narrative of just get rid of Matheny and Mabry and we'll be contenders.
You still have the same players.
What if we bring back the player manager?
Yeah.
How about that?
No, we have the same players. I want people to tell me, how are you going to make one hit or Fowler hit, or Carpenter be a little better? Because those are the three that we've been talking this year. They've been struggling a little bit.
Don't you know, though? Don't you know? Colton Wong can't hit because Mike doesn't believe in him. Colton can't do it because Mike doesn't believe in him, and he's jerked him around.
See, I can't deal with that. So that's why I don't. He doesn't get to my head because I don't deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about that. I don't care about those things when people say something stupid like that. I don't care, because it's not right. Mike Matheny is one of the great. I already said it. I feel like I'm saying it over and over. One of the greatest motivators ever in the game. He's great, positive. He knows now. Give him a Boston team. See what he can do. Give him a New York team, or a Houston team, even. Just give it to him, and Mabry, and see how they look. Now, if they can't manage that team, maybe that's it. Maybe they're bad. You know, he's a bad manager. He's a bad coach. That's fine. But give it to him. But we don't have that. You know what I mean? We don't have that. We have our guys. The guys that we have right there, I told you, that's what we have. And that's it. And if we make a mistake, and if we don't get the guy over, and if we don't get the guy in from third, and if we don't, the bullpen keeps giving up the lead late innings, it doesn't matter. Tomorrow, we're going to have the same guys out there. And the next day, in the second game of the series in Milwaukee, it's going to be the same guys. And the third game in Milwaukee, guys, is going to be the same guys. And the fourth game, when we get back home, is going to be the same guys. You know what I'm saying? So get over it, man. This is who we have. We just hope and pray that we freaking play better, that these guys can get to their level. These guys, because we've seen it. Fowler has hit 280 before, 270, whatever it is. And he's been on base for a crazy load of times. Wong hit 300 at one point last year, I think, or the year before. They could do it. That's what we're waiting on. But how long are we waiting on is the biggest question, man. That's the biggest question. But, hey, man, it's who we have. That's it.
I got to say, how many times, you know, this is another thing fans want that they don't understand, that it's his job. Listen, how many times in your life, Steve-O, have you witnessed a manager stand at a podium and answer questions to the media and rip his players for not being good enough in your life? Have you ever even in baseball?
Yeah, I mean, you've heard it occasionally. I can tell you what, I made an error my senior year in high school.
Yeah, but you played for Tom Pyle.
And Tom Pyle came out, didn't even look at me, looked at the pitcher, said, "Well, it's not your fault. Your second baseman can't catch the effing ball." Lefty man.
You see?
Yeah.
That's a bad coach. That's a guy who should never have a job in baseball, in my opinion. A guy who throws somebody under the bus. It's the same way. I've been explaining this to you, too. So it's the same way as when the pitcher throws a nasty pitch and the shortstop can't make a play. Let's say Munoz. He couldn't make the play. Air. And they score on that air. And the pitcher is raising their hands, doing a lackey on them or whatever, you know, pissed off that they made an error, right? What happened next pitch? Okay, the pitcher, the same guy that raised his arm, gave up a freaking home run. Now, if I'm a shortstop, I go right to the mound, get that Rosenbag in my hand, and I lift my hands, and I say, now what? You know, and I can say because my daughter's here, but, and I will say, now what, man? Now what? Now whose fault is it? It's like a LeBron. You know why I hate LeBron? Because he everybody's fault but his. He doesn't do anything wrong. He threw a pass, and he got caught, you know, like stole, and he blaming the other guy for not being there and catching it. Come on, man. That's why I don't like the coaches that throw under the bus anybody, because it could happen. It can come right back to you, man.
Well,
right back to you.
You took me right where I wanted to go with the last part of the conversation. And this is it. I say it every show. I'm going to say it again because it becomes clearer to me every time we do the show. The number one reason why we bitch and complain is because you guys make the game look easy sometimes. You make it easy for a fan to go, well, I know I can't do it, but they're professional baseball players. They're paid to hit. They're paid to do this. It doesn't matter. What people don't get is this is the number one failure sport. This whole game is designed around failure.
Hey, and don't get it wrong. Not because they pay you $10 million, that means you're worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get it wrong either. Because they pay you $10 million doesn't mean you're the man. It actually, a lot of times, are bad signings. They gave the money to the wrong people.
Well, and we're not so, – and listen, we don't have the market cornered on that. I just look around the league. That's another thing. I mean, I just want to finish with this. Benji had brought up – I don't know, did you do it a month ago, month and a half ago, you listed 15 names of guys struggling. Have you looked around the league at some of the guys that aren't doing very well? The best leadoff hitter in baseball last year struggling, Chris Taylor in L.A.
Hey, half of that list is already picking it up.
Sure. That's my point.
Today.
That's right. Okay? It's a game of failure. It ebbs and flows. It goes up and down. Okay? So look at Tony La Russa's teams. He had guys that would never be on that list. Year in and year out, were never on that list. We talked about MV3 and shit like that when he was here. How can you compare these teams, Cardinal way, to those? They're not even remotely close. They're not even close.
Not fair.
So I ask
you. We haven't even gone through the bullpen.
Oh, yeah. People. Well, he got the most out of his players. What do you mean he got the most out of a bunch of guys that were the best players on the team? What does that mean? You're telling me Tony got the most out of Jim Edmonds? Tony got the most out of Scott Rowland? Tony got the most out of Albert Pujols? Tony got the most out of... Let me ask you this.
Hey, now here's maybe a little off topic on it. Do you think manager reputation plays into how management goes out and gets players?
Well, I think there's a relationship there.
Mike needs this job. Mike's a young manager. We can give Mike dog shit and he'll eat it. Okay?
Oh, if you don't think that's going on, you think
Jim Leland's going to come in and manage his team?
What'd you say, Benji?
Oh, no, I said that their argument for Mike is that he's been a winning coach. That's their argument, that he keeps winning.
Right.
That's all they can say.
Well, but my point is, if they got rid of Matheny,
okay,
do you think if they go out and they go, okay, well, let's go get Tony La Russa back. Let's go get – I don't know the games pass these guys by, but let's go get what we know is great Manny. Let's go get
Tony
Socia.
Ain't coming back under these circumstances.
But do you think these guys would come in and say, yeah, you want me back? Here's what I need. Go out and get this,
you mean like when Whitey took over in the 80s and everybody loved him?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that has a little bit to play in it, that the fact that they know that Mike needs this job, that we can give Mike whatever, he's not going to rock the boat?
Well, and what are we coming up on right now? We're years past that now. So Mike doesn't need it as bad as he used to, I promise you.
Yeah.
So that's why it'll probably end soon. Listen, here's the deal.
I don't think it'll end if you ask me.
My point on that is that would be – listen, I would defer to you on that. You probably know behind the scenes what they truly – and you would probably never say it. You probably know if it's a bunch of shit – when they say, we think Mike's doing a good job and we think you people, you know, can bitch and complain and we understand you're bitching and complaining, but we don't think you know what you're talking about and he's actually doing a nice job. I've said since day one that these people are not stupid. That I think the fact that he is still the manager tells me that they're not dumb. They know darn good and well that he doesn't have the tools to win. You fire a manager when you give him tools to win and he loses. That's when you fire a manager.
That's why he can fire the guy.
Fire him when, let's face it, everybody wants Girardi, or you fire him when all your good players go to the ownership group and say, or the GM, and say, nobody's playing for this guy. We're not doing it. We don't like him. Because everybody wants Girardi. That's what happened.
Okay. That's going to be hard on this team, though.
Okay. So
Mike is a very likable guy. Some players might not like that they're being benched because they're hitting 170, 180, which I don't think they have any leverage to talk about. When you're hitting 170, what are you going to tell Mike? Mike, I need a play. I need more at-bats, man. I've been hitting 300. No, hitting 170, 180. What the heck are you going to say? Stay in that bench until you hit. That's just how it is. But Mike is a very likable guy, man. I'm telling you, he might not make the perfect move at times. Obviously, that's what you need to argue. That's what you need to criticize him. When he doesn't put the right lineup out there, when Jerko was killing the Padres and he didn't put him in the lineup. Yeah, I give you that. That's one thing you should criticize Mike. But the other things, when he doesn't have it, when he puts Gumber instead of who? There's two lefties coming up in that lineup, in that inning. Very important inning. And he puts Gumber. Ah, oh, why he put Gumber? Okay, all right, let's stop 1 second. Who do you want? Esso? Because those are the two we have. Unless you want to bring Andrew Miller for a day, and then you want to chip him back to Cleveland. But who we have is those two. So what is a hard decision for Mike Matheny to put Gumber? Why? Because it didn't work out? Get the heck out of here, man. Serious? That's who we have. I always told you guys. It's who we have, and we just hope and pray that they do their job. We hope and pray they get better. That's very simple. We hope and pray that Fowler gets it going. We hope and pray that, Wong gets it going so we can have him over there at the in the lineup. That's playing second, good defense. We hope and pray that Jerko gets hot. Come on, man. That's what we have to do. That's what we have.
My opinion is you got to take Matt Carpenter off the table. He's been hot for a month. That's out of the conversation as far as him struggling
anymore.
Let
me ask you a question. I'm glad you brought that up. So I'm going to go way back in time.
Okay.
Benji's probably going to be like, well, Jim, what in the hell are you talking about? Because he was busy building his own baseball career. Remember when Whitey Herzog came to town? We had a pretty darn good hitting catcher, which hitting catchers were tough to come by that day.
Simba?
Yeah. Traded him. Got his ass roasted for it, too, a little bit when he first got here.
Yeah.
What'd he trade him for? I can't have guys on the team that can only do one thing.
Right.
Okay? Yes, he can hit, but I need Daryl Porter for a variety of reasons. Now, because Daryl Porter the hitter that Simba was?
No.
No. That's my point here. Do I like Matt Carpenter? I don't hate Matt Carpenter at all. I'd give him more up than everybody else. But sooner or later, you have to look at the way we've been losing these games the last couple years. Listen, to act like that it's not going to rear its head, continue to rear its head, is crazy. Now, again, here's my point, and this is what I'm saying. And then you and Benji can roast me, do whatever you want to do. Who is saying that we're going to replace Matt Carpenter or whoever it is with a guy that can't play? See, that's my thing. It isn't like I'm advocating to go get a player and he's going to come in here and he's going to hit like shit and he's going to play a little bit better defense than Matt Carpenter. That's where I'm going with this. Benji says it all the time. You have who you have. If you can't upgrade over Matt Carpenter, to upgrade over Matt Carpenter means this. Number one, do I think he's a great hitter? I don't know if he's a great hitter. I think he's a good hitter. If you want to be better, it's pretty simple, folks. You got to replace him with a good hitter that can play defense, and then you're better. Okay? If you go get a second baseman right now that's not as good as Colton Wong defensively, but he's pretty good and he can hit, you're better. This is not rocket science. Okay? It is not rocket science. Players make the difference. You can hire all the Jose Oquendos and all the Willie McGees that you want. You can hire a manager that stands there and does this and does that. The players have to perform. End of discussion.
And the players make a good coach.
Oh, my God.
Players make a good manager.
Yeah.
Go back to Girardi. Go back to Girardi. I don't have anything against him. But God darn it, man. If you give me the lineup he had, I'm going to be the best manager in the world. Joe Torre. I didn't think he was a good manager. I don't think Joe Torre was a good manager at all. But guess what? If you put me a Jeter, A-Rod, if you put me a Cano in second, and then you put me Jason Giambi at first, and then you put me all these guys, pitching, and then you have Wetland or whatever his name was, and then you have Mariano closing, hell with you. I'm going to be the best manager in the world, man. In the world, because I have the lineup. You know what I'm saying? The players make the manager. That's strictly how it is.
Well, so I ask you this. Everybody loves Bruce Bochy. I know you love. I know that you're a huge Bochy fan. Has he become stupid all of a sudden the last couple seasons?
No. Has he become have the pieces he had before?
But wait a minute. But I thought a coach can get the most out of these guys, and he can make these guys better. I mean, God darn it, Bochy. I mean, let's go. I mean, let's get these guys going here. I mean, come on. My goodness.
Bruce Bochy is one of the smartest guys I ever known as a manager. You know why I love Mike Socha, and nobody gives him credit, obviously, because he's been in the game too long, I guess. And everybody's getting tired of him, I guess. I don't know what it is, but you know why I love him? Because he can make a bad team look good by doing the little things. He likes the hit and run. He likes to get the guy over. He emphasized on that. He emphasized on bunting, which is not even heard these days. And he emphasized on that. He said, if I can score one run every inning, I get 9 runs. If one guy gets, I already been through this, but if one guy gets on in the 5th or in the 6th inning, the first two guys get on, and I'm the 7th batter in the lineup. Obviously, it's different because we have a DH, but in the American League. But if I'm the 7th batter, I sacrifice myself for the 8th batter and 9th batter to bring that guy in, at least one guy. It's the job of the next guy to bring him in. Oh, but the next guy is hitting 150. Oh, but the next guy is hitting 200. I don't give a crap. My job is to get those two guys over the 3rd and 2nd. And the other guy's job that's hitting 200, that's his job to bring him in. Now, if he's hitting 200 and he cannot bring him in, get somebody else in the lineup that can do it, and we have a run. That's how simple it is. And that's why I love Mike Socha. And he'll tell us, oh, man, I want you to hit because the guy next to you, after you, is hitting this and struggling. I say, well, find you somebody that's not struggling, and we will have a run. I mean, come on, man. It's not hard, and it's not difficult to understand.
Well, and again, like I said, I mean, so, I mean, it's this simple. It's not rocket science. So all of a sudden, if the Giants make 3 trades and get some good players in there and they win, he got smarter. It kills me, though. But whatever. I say it all the time.
You know what they gave Boach is they gave him a lineup that was awesome 10 years ago.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It does kill me how when a manager gets given stuff and it doesn't work out, people make excuses about what he was given if they like him. If they don't like him, he can't win with what they gave him. See, it's all narrative. It all depends on what you really like. I've come to the grips with the fact that there's just people out there, and they think it's like hundreds of thousands. There's just a faction of people that want Mike gone, and that's fine. I don't really even care how big it is. I've said it 100 times. I don't care. You can bring in whoever you want right now, but I will leave you with this today as we're winding it down. They interviewed Terry Francona, and they hired Mike McKinney. Steve, you brought it up. And I guarantee you Benji knows more than the rest of us on this topic because he's been in these things before. The truth of the matter is this. When you interview a guy, okay, you're not just interviewing him. He's interviewing you too. Because let's face it, Terry Francona could get a job because she obviously did. You don't think Terry Francona didn't tell them what he wanted to do and what he expected?
Or what team?
For the Cardinals. You don't think Terry Francona didn't tell?
No, I'm saying, like, Francona, in his shoes, he'd be like, okay, do I want to manage these Cardinals or do I want to manage those Cleveland Indians?
Well, and again, my point was, are you telling me he didn't sit there and go, well, here, because this is what you do. You go into those meetings. You're not going out for coffee and you talk a little baseball. This guy's showing up going, yeah, I've looked at your roster. I've looked at this. I've looked at everything you've given me. Here's what I think. I don't think much of these guys. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do this. The other guys come in and go, this is what I see, and this is what I think I could do. My guess is, guess what Mike said? Well, we're going to make this work. And
how much money are you paying
well,
me?
Well, I mean, you know. And they probably said, well, I mean, boy, we like Terry. You know, Terry, yeah, he won. I mean, I don't know how much that bullshit in Boston, that clubhouse
crap. But Terry's not going to say yes, sir.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that if you go through and you interview everybody and they're going to have their objections or they're going to have their demands, you know, and some of it, make no bones about it, is going to be salary. But a lot of it's probably the makeup of the ball club, how much power they have, how much control they have. And quite frankly, everybody I think knows, you know, Mike had a history. And if they were able to come in and the objections were super low and it was only, hey, how much are you willing to pay me? And I don't have a whole lot of leverage to negotiate that. That might be an easy hire for them.
Well, and again, I mean, are we managing? Listen,
guys, you have to say yes, sir, and you have a job.
Well, again, I can't. you know, not in there. I just, like I said, you're not going to convince me that the guy that played the game just walks in the clubhouse after a game and says, keep grinding, guys. I know you're doing the guy that stands up in front of the media and says, yeah, you know, I mean, if you think that guy's not in his office going, I don't understand why I can't get more out of this guy. I've tried everything. I've done this. This is what's going on behind the scenes, folks. Benji, tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong so I can get over it.
You're not wrong. And the good teams, Jimbo and Steve-O, the good teams do something about it. The normal, okay teams, the regulars, the average teams, they don't do anything about it. But the really good ones, how many times have we gone to the trade deadline and we haven't got anybody? It's been quite a few times, right?
Right.
And you're like, okay, this is the year that we're going to get somebody that is going to help us on the trade deadline. And it's going to help us win or get to the playoff, over the hump, whatever you want to call it. But how many times have we seen them not do anything? So that's exactly what I'm saying. The really high teams that are really high, like last year, what did the Astros did? What did the Dodgers did? They kept adding people, you know? They kept adding because they needed reinforcement a little bit. And they, guess what? They ended up in the World Series, even in the playoff. They have guys that did that. But when you have a organization that don't do that and they don't trade for anybody or something, it's gonna be harder. That's just normal. That's just straight up. It's gonna be harder to win.
Right.
I've said this 100 times. I've said it 100 times, and I'll end with this. Okay, because we gotta go. If an organization doesn't get you what you need, what are they telling you? They don't think you're good enough as a team. There is no reason when you have money and prospects and a trade deadline and people are moving, okay? There is no reason not to go upgrade your team unless as a GM you think what? It doesn't matter if I give them to them. They're not good enough. End of discussion.
Or they're waiting for next year.
Yeah, they've been waiting for next year. How long?
No, I think next year's a little bit different.
Are we tanking? Are we tanking?
No, I agree.
Year? Are we tanking?
I agree.
I think.
No, I agree. I actually do agree. I think it started a little bit last year in the offseason.
Yeah.
If you ask me, this is a now. Listen, I'm going to say this. Or this is early. This is the biggest offseason coming up for the St. Louis Cardinals in a very, very, very long time for a variety of reasons. Number one, you already are not spending the money that I think you should spend, but it's easy for me to say that because it's not my money, okay? But the bottom line is this. You've got some real money coming off the books this year. You've got some real money coming off the books here. And here's another thing. You've got 2 years of Yachty left. We've all seen what it looks like without Yachty. And it's inevitable. I don't care how good he is. It's inevitable. Sooner or later, he's going to be gone, whether it's 2 years or 3 years, four, whatever it is.
They might have to give him an extension next year.
But my point is, eventually he's gone. We've all seen what it looks like.
Yep.
This is the biggest offseason coming up for the St. Louis Cardinals in a long time. Because
he was 3 years ago, buddy. And he was 2 years ago. And he was last year. And it is next year.
Yeah, I get your point. It's important every year, but you know it is what it is now.
I'm telling you, you're talking about losing a pitcher that's been iconic to your franchise that takes up a large chunk of money. You've got a dead contract in Holland that's going away. I mean, listen, I've said this 100 times over. You can take the money. You cannot get rid of a couple of the contracts that you need to get rid of. I mean, because listen, you'd be a liar. You would be an ignorant fool not to think that if they could get rid of Fowler and Cecil, they would, because they would. They just can't, okay? But the bottom line is you could keep both of them. You could not make one.
Walk at the free agent, too.
You could not make one change. You have all this young starting pitching. You could take the money you're going to save from this year alone and sign Manny Machado. You could take the money given to Adam Wainwright,
Jimbo,
Holland, and give it to
Jimbo.
Manny Machado.
Jimbo. Let's go back to what we were saying, man. Yes, I won Machado. Fine. That would be a great signing. But if we keep losing these freaking games in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, it doesn't matter if you bring back Derek Jeter and put him in short, and if you bring back whoever at second base, and if you bring back Terry Pendleton, and if you bring back Vince Coleman. Hey, you know what? I'll give you Mike Shannon. How's that? Bring him back. Tim McCarver, anybody. If you lose these games 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning, it would not matter, man. I'm being serious. I cannot enforce it enough, man.
Well, like I said, I mean, again, I'm not saying they're not going to have to do something with the bullpen. You can do stuff without the bullpen without breaking the bank. I mean, I think we've witnessed enough money being thrown around at bullpens knowing that that may not be the answer. That's kind of my point there. They have pitching in the minors that they're going to have to say sooner or later, okay, we're going to have to go with some of these young arms like these other teams are doing. My point on the money
was... But these young arms, though, we don't know how they're going to do, like you always say.
Well, I mean, okay, I would agree with that. I will say this. I think every team deals with that with the bullpen every year. I mean, let's face it. There are guys that 1 year are good in the bullpen for every team. This isn't a Cardinal thing. That you cannot go find 60 guys that are in the bullpens in the majors that are good every year. You can't. It doesn't exist. It's a handful of guys that have built a career in the bullpen. The most of them are guys that are in and out of the league.
They got lefties that can't get lefties out.
Oh,
they got righties that can get lefties out. They got these consistent. They might not be great, but they got consistent guys out there. There are guys out there, and they were this past off season. If you go back, we just didn't get them. And like everybody's easier to say, oh well, they're doing horrible right now. What, you have a crystal ball that you're gonna know that they're gonna do horrible?
Well, that's my point.
Because if you do, you should be a GM.
That's kind of my point. Don't we know what Manny Machado's going to do? That's kind of my point. And you've got the money. So, yes, that's my point.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome, believe me. But we can have Machado. We can have anybody you want. But if we still have the problems in the bullpen, we will lose games. We will lose games. And remember, the Cubs and Milwaukee Brewers have the two best bullpens. All right? So are we going to compete without a bullpen? Good luck, buddy.
Yeah, I agree with you to a certain extent, except for the Machado thing could actually push up the extra runs that you need to minimize the effect that the a weaker bullpen would have. And you know that as well as anybody that, you know, you get a 4 or 5 run lead, 6 run lead where it's not tight. These guys seem to throw a little bit better, you know, tight situation, which is why the 27th out is always the hardest out to get, you know, when you're in a save situation, just because everything seems to be just a little bit tighter. You squeeze the ball a little bit harder. You know, you're trying to be perfect. So, you know, you hope that.
I get it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You hope that you can score more runs, get out of those tight situations, and then guess what? Brett Cecil isn't as a glaring problem, okay?
Well, he doesn't have to get Rizzo out.
Yeah. He's going to have to get him out. Unless you got a 6-run lead, then it doesn't matter. Let him hit the 2-run homer.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, buddy, but I'm with you. I want Machado. Don't get me wrong. Shoot, if I had the money, I'll go get it myself. I will pay him a call. Hey, man, you got to come over. I just worry. I know that the good teams out there, the really good teams that do well, it's because they got a fan. Not a fan. They have a really good bullpen. That's all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I think that they're trying to hang in there, and the longer they hang in, the more difficult it gets on Cardinal Nation just because they want them to make a move now. They want to win now, when I really think that they are geared up towards making a serious push at the next 2 years, and hopefully that sends Yadi out on a big note. Unfortunately, it won't send Waino out on a big note because he's done after this year, but I really think they're trying to make that push over the next 2 years after this season.
Let me Yeah, and let me tell you this, guys. You guys, as fans, the fans that we have in St. Louis, deserve a great team. They don't deserve a so-so team, or they don't deserve all these things that we're discussing with this bullpen or whatever. They deserve a great team because, gosh, man, they're nice. And the fans out there, they go every single day, day in, day out, 46,000 people, 47,000 people. Come on, man. They deserve that thing. If you don't want to do it for yourself or the team, well, do it for the fans. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, we have miles to go, and I don't know how we get there. But that being said, you know, listen, this doesn't mean I don't love the Cardinals. This doesn't mean that I don't want every one of them to do well, and I want to get rid of everybody. The reality at the end of the day is simple, folks. We got to be better. It's pretty simple, to be honest with you. It's got to be better. And just saying, and I guess the theory of this was, just saying, okay, that it's not the, we got to start playing the Cardinal way. Well, how do you get to the Cardinal way? The Cardinal way, in my opinion, and this is where I'll end the show, the Cardinal way was designed around building up prospects and trading them for guys that could really play the game. Tell me if I'm wrong. Identifying guys... identifying the guys that can really play the game and going and getting them. Was David Eckstein a sexy signing? No, but he could play the game, right? Was Ronnie Belliard sexy? No, but he could play the game. There's a lot of guys they called in here.
For call was sexy.
Yeah, but he could play the game. He didn't really even do anything great here.
No.
He just came in and played.
But he could throw it 105 miles an hour across the field.
Like it. They were ballers, guys.
I don't know.
How about that throw from Jackie Bradley Jr. the other night? Did they really clock that at 103, 104? That's unbelievable. I've never seen anything, well, outside of the Ankiel throw a couple years ago. That was unreal. But, all right, BMO, I think that's it, man. We're going to wrap this thing up, and we got...
We should touch just a little bit about... how things are going there, man. I wanted to mention this. I hope I have 5 minutes or 4 minutes.
Yeah,
or
let's
minutes.
Do it, buddy. Let's go.
I'll be quick. Just to the people out there, and hopefully we can get this word across. And if you have the platform to do something about it, do it, man. Don't hesitate. Help out those kids that are being locked up without they're being separated and locked up in Texas without their mom. How can you do that? The other day I was watching the news in CNN or whatever that was. There were three people talking. One of the guys said, man, we have a Down syndrome girl that was separated from her mom. And the other guy had the nerve on camera to go and say, wah, wah. How the hell do you do that, man? You got to be heartless. You got to be more than that. You got to be an evil person to say when somebody's talking about a Down syndrome girl being separated from the mom, and you as an anchor of the TV show or something, you go, wah, wah. Come on, man. They should take your kids and put them in the cages and see how they feel about it. See if we can go to your face and say, wah, wah. That is horrible, man. So if you have the platform, if you're listening to us, Take a voice, man. Make a voice out there. Just go and put your voice out there because it's really unfair for these little kids. Maybe they're illegal, but keep it together and chip them back to where they come from if you want. But you don't have to separate them and treat them like freaking criminals and put them in cages where they have to be with that aluminum foil blankets all over them. What the hell is this? Is this America? For real? Is this where we live? Hey, they're illegal. That's the only problem they have. Ship them back to where they are. Ship them back. Send them back to Mexico. Send them back to Iran or whatever the heck they are from. But I get that. That's okay because they're not legal here. But don't separate them from their mom and then put them in the freaking cages and then let them sleep on the floor? Come on, man. If you have a voice out there, just speak it out, man. Speak it out because it's really, really crazy how America is getting, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. You know, hey, everybody needs to go look in the mirror and be a better human being. Okay? Be better. And it doesn't matter if you're driving to work and you're in rush hour traffic, be better. You know, it doesn't matter if you're on Twitter and you're, you know, and somebody says something that you don't agree with. Be a better, we all need to be better. And it goes from, you know, everybody in our world, 7 to 8
illegal
billion
or not,
people, illegal or not, white, yeah. Black, red, orange, green, it doesn't matter. Listen, the human race needs to be better. And there's definitely some trying times out there. You know, help somebody out. You know, reach back when you get up. Reach back down and pull somebody else up. Don't be a lawnmower. Don't cut people down. So, you know, unfortunately, yeah. BMO,
and
you know.
Just because they're illegal doesn't mean you got to throw them in the cage. Just send them back. I mean, if they're illegal, you caught them. They're trying to get illegal into the country. I get that. Put him in a car, send him back, but don't separate them from the mom. You know how suffering it is for a Down syndrome girl? Not only Down syndrome, any kid. Put your kid right now into a cage and you'll be somewhere else in another cage and see how horrible that is. Why Donald Trump doesn't take one of his kids and put him in the cage? And then he will feel the pain. He would know what those guys are going through. Yeah, they're illegal. Fine. Send them back. Don't separate them, you know, but send them back. Okay, let them go back to their country, and they'll be okay. But don't do that, man. Don't separate those kids. They're suffering as heck, man.
Right.
That is not right. That's not America. That's not America that I know.
Right.
That's not really America. Well, anyway, we've been
yeah, you know what? I was you know, just thinking that when Jimbo was going off on things, I was like, "Hey, you know what? He should make a political podcast and really you want to get people up in arms and get difference of opinions and you know what? Like I said, at the end of the day, I think people just need to look, do the right thing, be better human beings, and that goes all around the world. And I, you know, Benji, the thing I took out, I was in a fraternity up in college as well. And I think everybody took the same lesson from there. You can always bitch and complain. There's always problems, but can you solve them? What's your solution? So listen, if you're out there, you have solutions, make sure that your voice is being heard, help out, be a better human. And hopefully, we'll look back a couple years from now and everything will be a better world. That's for sure. So, Benji.
Let me tell you this real quick.
What's that?
Do something. Let me tell you this real quick. That something that I saw on a show. It said, hashtag do something for nothing. How hard is that?
Absolutely.
How hard is that for these days? Do something for nothing. How many people do something for something?
Right,
and it's crazy. No, do something for nothing, buddy. That's what you need to do.
Well, I tell you what, I can't thank you enough. You came in and spoke to a group of business people for us a couple days ago, and the people that were there walked out of there truly inspired. So your story's remarkable. I'm glad you have a voice. Hopefully we give you a little bit more of a platform around here. If you're listening out there in Cardinal Nation to our show and, you know, interested to get a speaker in for a group of people, get in touch with Benji. He's a phenomenal speaker. His story impacts your life, no matter where you're at in life. I mean, everybody goes through struggles, adversity, good times, bad times. So, remarkable story. Make sure you reach out to him, and I'm sure he'll be glad to accommodate some way, shape, or form. So, Benji, thanks again for doing that for me and the group of business people we brought in to meet with you.
You got it, man, and you can make a difference, anybody out there. I don't care who you are, what platform do you have, millionaire, poor, Anybody can make a difference. So make sure you make a difference in a good way, man. That's all that matters.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Just a couple last thanks to, like, the Rally Squirrel, Cardinal Nation, Chris Lawless, all your Cardinal fan clubs out there on Facebook. Guys, thanks so much for sharing the show. Continue doing it. Josh Potter's not with us today. I think he has a list of all the top groups out there on Facebook to follow and podcasts. So make sure you pay attention to just not the couple of knuckleheads here at Lineup Media that talk you know, Cardinal baseball, but everybody else, if you're looking for difference of opinions. And all I got to say is we got to go out and win some more games right now, Benjo, right?
Yes, we got to go. We got to go, man. We got to fix that bullpen. The bullpen have to hold it, man. I know it's been really rough for them because the starters have been going so short on the games, but we need to somehow find a way to win these games, man.
Perfect. For Benji Molina on M4 by Yachty Hotline, for Jimbo, I'm Steve-O. Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.